You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained, talking about the Montreal Canadiens. My name is Amy Johnson. I am your host for today's show, which, of course, is episode 389 of Canadiens Connection. This week's episode titled Montreal Canadiens Trade Deadline Preview. What will Kent Hughes do? And that is the big question of the week that I and my wonderful co-host Rick Stevens, who is here in the studio with me, are going to attempt to answer today. But first, let's welcome Rick into the studio, our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right. a little bit under the weather, but we're doing okay.
We're all here.
Yeah, we're here.
Because we don't ever miss a week. It's like you blinked and February was gone. Olympic break was over. Habs were back in action this week and the trade deadline is right around the corner. So today we're going to get you kind of back into the regular groove of things. We're going to quickly recap the two games that Montreal did play this week in their return to action, update you on any roster news, as well as take a peek into the Habs prospect report, give you some other NHL headlines, all before we tackle our big topic in the second segment today. And that topic, of course, is the Montreal Canadiens trade deadline primer. What's in play? We're going to, as this goes, yes, in the last couple of episodes, we've talked a little bit about what could happen for the Habs at the trade deadline, what's likely to happen, what options could there be. But that kind of keeps changing day to day and week to week as things happen, rumors come out, things of that nature. So now we're in crunch time, and so we're going to examine where are things at right now, and as we wind down the final days towards the trade deadline, what is really likely to happen? What's the plan for Kent Hughes and what could we see him do? Of course, don't forget, we always want to hear from you. If you've got questions, if you've got answers to the Canadiens Connection question of the week, which we're going to bring you later on in the show, if you have an opinion that you want to share, be sure you reach out to us on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You can also drop us a comment on Spotify, drop us a comment on YouTube, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And if you got any advice on throat lozenges, I'm glad to hear from you. I got an array in front of me here. We got the Ricolas, we got the throat coats, we got the metal tin of Sucrets. So we'll see what
maybe try combining all of them at once see what happens. Could be interesting. Well, let's talk about some NHL game action. That's a nice change of pace after a couple of weeks of Olympic action. The Canadiens returned to the NHL ice on Thursday night at the Bell Center, taking on the New York Islanders. Sam Montembeault getting the first start after the break. And while it was a good night for a couple of the skaters, not a great night for Sam Montembeault. Montreal dropped this one in overtime, 4-3.
Head coach Marty St. Louis announced that each of his goaltenders would get, for the first two games, they'd each get a start. And it was Montembeault getting the first start against the Islanders. He keeps trying to convince everyone, maybe himself, that Monty is still that number one goalie, which, you know, he certainly
is not
and hasn't been for many months now. This started well for the Canadians, Dobson looking maybe to prove something to the team that traded him, picked up two goals, his 11th and 12th of the season. Cole Caufield, the power play goal, his 33rd goal of the season. And Montembeault, for me, he didn't have it right off the hop. His rebound control was bad. His tracking was bad. He had a shaky first period, although didn't give up a goal. He was kind of saved by that offside call, the goal called back. But then two goals in pretty quick succession. Within a minute of each other, Matthew Schaefer in the second, the Anders Lee goal to tie it in the third, and the J.G. Pageau overtime goal. And it was a comeback win for the Islanders, the Canadians having a tough time holding leads, defending leads, and it caught them here. Phil Deneau, my goodness, I think that was a coaching mistake by Marty. In overtime, I know he wants to get Phil out there to get the face off and then rush him off the ice, but it's a 45-55 kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
55% he's going to win the face off, but you risk then him being left out there, and his lack of foot speed in overtime was pretty evident, and Pageau went in all alone, beating Montembeault. Sam Montembeault with an .846 save percentage in that game did not look good.
Then Saturday night rolled around, and the Washington Capitals were in town. Jakub Dobish in the crease, looking spot on. Cole Caufield not wasting any time. And all shades of Thursday night behind them, Montreal beating the Capitals 6-2.
Cole Caufield's march towards 40 goals and beyond, right on track. Two more goals, up to 35 in the season.
Scored the first one 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, great way to start. And this was a big game for Montreal because they had been knocked around by the Capitals, let's be frank, in the playoffs, and Montreal had something to prove here. And it had been a long time since the Canadians had won against the Capitals, and it was a pretty one-sided victory. That's not to say that the Capitals didn't have some pushback, and Dobish made some incredible saves. He made big saves at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Suzuki picked up 3 points in this game. Dobish, .931 save percentage. He's on an 11-game point streak. In his last 11 games, he has a record of 9-0-2, and that means he has not lost in regulation since December 9th.
Maybe he should be the starter.
Yeah, I think the evidence is overwhelming.
I think so as well. So through 59 games played, the Canadians now sitting with a 33-17-9 record. That is 75 points, folks, placing them third overall in the Atlantic Division, seventh overall in the NHL. They are back in a playoff spot, 85.2% chance of making the playoffs.
Again, we'll remind everybody that they do have a tough schedule ahead. With 23 games remaining, they have the sixth toughest schedule in the National Hockey League. So they're going to have to keep winning and accumulating those points and watch out for teams like Detroit and Buffalo and Boston. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is on quite a tear.
Yep.
So the win was great, and they have to keep it up.
Not that we're already looking towards next season, but a fun announcement came out this week that the Senators and the Canadiens are going to face off in the preseason on Monday, September 21st, at Colisée Videotron in Trois-Rivières as part of Kraft Hockeyville.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be fun for the folks in Trois-Rivières.
Yeah.
Trois-Rivières, great season last year with the Kelly Cup and not so great this year, but they have something to look forward to in the fall.
Definitely. In terms of the roster, Alex Newhook back in the lineup on Thursday night after a pretty extensive injury recovery for him, but he was back on the ice.
Yeah, and surgery. He I guess a little ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. And there he was. With Evans, Newhook, Evans, and a combination of Textier or Bolduc, depending on the night, and we had predicted that last week that's where he'd end up when he returned to the lineup,
which he has. Valeno also an extra this week, and on the defensive side of things, still kind of rotating the Jack Eichstrubel as the extra defenseman. all right, well, they've only been back at it for a few days, so light on the roster news, which sometimes no news is good news. So let's move on to the Habs prospect report and see how some of the young guns are doing.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Well, it's been a little while since the prospect that we highlighted for the week was Bryce Pickford, and that was just way overdue. And he got apparently very upset about it and said, fine, I'm going to make you guys remember that you need to talk about Bryce Pickford. Medicine Hat Tigers defenseman Bryce Pickard, who's just on a 4-game goal streak right now.
He's on a 4-game goal streak. He's on a 5-game point streak. Last 4 games, he has 4 goals, added 4 assists for 8 points. And that included Friday night, Medicine Hat versus the Calgary Hitmen. It was Bryce Pickford, I believe, scoring the overtime goal. So on the season now, in his 47 games, he has 37 goals, which I believe is about third in the WHL scoring. 34 assists, 71 points, and he's a plus 44.
He's a defenseman.
A defenseman, yes. Captain of that Medicine Hat team, third round pick for the Canadiens, 81st overall in 2025.
37 goals. My goodness, Bryce Pickford. For the Laval Rocket, they've played a whole slew of games in the last week. They played a back-to-back games in Utica. They won one of them. They lost one of them. They dropped a game against Toronto at home on Wednesday, then visited Rochester on Friday and blew them out of the water with a 9-3 victory, but then visited Syracuse on Saturday night and dropped that one 6-4. Why all of the struggling? Well, a big part of that has been that Jacob Fowler has been ill for almost 2 weeks now. He did not travel with the team this week for their road trip.
I'm blaming him, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Or are you two hanging out watching the Olympics together?
Never tell.
But yes, apparently Jacob Fowler is dealing with a severe illness and has not been, he's just been out of commission playing wise. And so they are relying on Kaapo Kähkönen and Hunter Jones called up from the ECHL. And so a little bit of a rough week for them this week, but thankfully they've kind of They had plenty of wins banked. So with their 56 games played, they still have 73 points. They're still sitting first in the North, fourth overall in the AHL. They only have 16 games left on the regular season. So I think they're going to be fine. They play Syracuse again on Wednesday, and they play Rochester again on Friday. Both of those games are at home at Place Belle. So see if they can get their goaltender healthy and see if they can get some retribution in those two games. Trois-Rivières still hanging in there. They're sixth in the North right now, 19th overall in the ECHL. And before we wrap up this first segment, just want to also wrap up the Winter Olympics. I know it seems like with the NHL getting back up to speed this week, I know the Olympics seemed like it was an eon ago, but we have not had an episode of the podcast since the gold medal game. And so with that being wrapped up, we of course want to acknowledge both of the medal rounds, the bronze medal game and the gold medal game. Of course, the bronze medal game, Finland versus Slovakia. Unfortunately for Juraj Slavkovský and the Slovaks, Finland had firm command in that game and easily beat their Slovakian counterparts 6-1. But Rick, that meant that even though he didn't get to play too often during the tournament, but Oliver Kapanen did come home with a bronze medal and got to play in the medal game.
Pretty significant role. Kapanen, yeah. Rantanen couldn't go. Oliver Kapanen slots in on the top line with Arturi Lehkonen, Sebastian Aho. I think many of the commentators afterwards saying, wait a minute, why didn't this Oliver Kapanen guy, is he only slotting in now? It was Chris Cuthbert on the broadcast said about Oliver Kapanen, quote, he's been noticeable so far. I wonder why he hasn't gotten at least a few shifts till now. He's tied for the NHL rookie lead in goals, end quote. But nice for him to get into, not only put on the jersey and sit on the bench as he had been doing for a couple of games, but get on the ice, help Finland earn that bronze medal. And in the handshake line afterwards, it was really nice to see his line mate with the Montreal Canadiens, Juraj Slavkovský, being so happy for Oliver and congratulating him on the bronze. Oliver, afterwards about winning the Olympic bronze, said, quote, means a lot to me and my family. So a successful tournament. And as you said, we haven't had a chance to pass on our own congratulations.
That's right.
To Oliver Kapanen and, of course, to Nick Suzuki winning the silver medal.
That's right. Of course, the gold medal game early Sunday morning, quite a nail biter in true.
We can just move past that, I think.
Dramatic fashion. Really? I don't think so. True dramatic fashion, going to overtime and the U.S. Winning their first gold medal since 1980, beating Canada 2-1. And yes, Nick Suzuki earning a silver medal is a tough loss for Team Canada. Nick Suzuki, though, seems to have come back having had a good experience. It was quite a game. I really didn't know which way it was going
to
go.
All kidding aside, congratulations to the U.S. team and well-earned gold medal. The MVP of the tournament, Connor McDavid, I don't think there's any question about that. Also, the top goalie, as picked by the media, was Connor Hellebuyck. Shouldn't be any any dispute
that, no.
There. And for those that say goaltending doesn't matter,
yes, it does.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me a bit of with Carey Price, and when you know, you had to make the case that yes, the goaltender is part of the team. Helps earn these victories.
Mm-hmm.
Defensemen, All-Stars, Quinn Hughes from the U.S., Cale Makar from Team Canada, top three forwards, McDavid and Celebrini from Canada, and Juraj Slavkovský, a nice nod to him for Team Slovakia.
That's two Olympics back-to-back Winter Olympics that Yuri Slavkovsky has had notable performances.
And made the All-Star team.
Remember, he was the MVP of the tournament in 2022. All right, we are going to bring you a quick message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And when we come back, it is time for the Montreal Canadiens trade deadline primer. Let's figure out what's in play this week. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. I'm here in the studio with our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Hey, if you're interested, you could follow either one of us over on X if you're on that platform. My handle over there is at Flyers Rule. As far as Rick, you definitely want to be sure you're following him because he mans our main account over on Twitter. That's at Rocket Sports. That's how you can find Rick, at Rocket Sports. And that's the way to get all of our content on different platforms there as well. So it's a great place to follow. You can also, don't forget, follow this podcast in particular on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Just look for the handle at Habs Connection. And while you're at it, make sure you tap that subscribe button because we're here every week, all year long, even on the weeks where maybe somebody's a little under the weather. We're still here.
Who would that be?
I have no idea. Not you. All right. We've officially reached the point in the season, everyone, where, oh, everything just starts to get a little tighter. Trade deadline is almost here. It's hard to believe that it's March. Trade deadline is less than a week away. For the Canadiens, though, the trade deadline this year isn't just about, you know, making a move for the sake of making a move. It's about maintaining or determining which direction they're moving in right now. It's all about timing. And it's really whether about the front office right now sees an opportunity to adjust something right now or just kind of stay patient and play the long game. Now, there's some obvious talking points. Hello, Patrick Laine. That's obviously a big focus before the trade deadline. But the bigger question is what actually overall makes sense for the Habs where they're at right now. And with the trade landscape kind of changing day by day in these final days, this final stretch before the deadline, we got to walk through it and do it in kind of a realistic way. The time for the rumors is almost over. So what we want to do today is just quickly get you ready for this week's trade deadline. What could happen? What should happen? What is likely to happen? What new information do we have? What new clues have been dropped in the past week to kind of guide expectations for this week? And those are the questions that are really taking center stage right now. So Rick, it's kind of like, okay, here's Ken Hughes' to-do list. And what if it happens now? What if it has to wait?
So yeah, Ken Hughes. And when we say Ken Hughes, it's Ken Hughes, Jeff Gordon, the whole management team. They have a to-do list. Mm-hmm. But they aren't the only ones who can determine the outcome. There has to be a willing partner on the other side to fulfill their to-do list. So it's hard to predict what's going to be able to happen. We've heard Jeff Gordon talk about opportunities and availabilities. What's going to be available to them? What's going to fall into their lap? And those are the things that, you know, I think people can predict, but what you can't predict is other GMs feeling pressure, running into injury situations, feeling like they need to make a move because of what their divisional competitors do. So all of those things are going to start to play out over the weekend, have an effect on what's available to the Montreal Canadiens. But I think it's safe to say that there are kind of two different categories we can break. We can look at Kent Hughes's to-do list, and we can break it into two different categories. There is what they're looking to do at the trade deadline, and there are moves that may not be able to be accomplished just yet, just because of the dynamics of what happens at the trade deadline, and they may be off-season projects or longer-term projects. So we'll try to look at the different things that they could be doing, the different moves. And that's not to say that just because we say that something is a longer-term project, this isn't black and white, that they can't happen at the trade deadline. It's just they're less likely right, because of what might be available. So take this, there's a lot of gray in here, and you'll have to keep that in mind as we go through this.
Definitely. And so we'll start with what I mentioned is kind of the obvious talking point, and that is finding a new home for Patrick Laine.
There's no room in the lineup for Patrick Laine. There's just no room. There's no room for a player. There was last year. This year, there's no room for a one-dimensional player who can be a potent weapon on the power play, but who is a liability 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's another team out there that can take on a player like that. There's just not a way to fit a player like that into the Montreal Canadiens lineup. They don't really need Patrick Laine on the power play. They have enough weapons, and his 5-on-5 play is wouldn't fit it's into the way that they're built to play.
No.
We've heard that the Los Angeles Kings have inquired about Patrick Laine, and that makes sense with Fiala, you know, being out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. But we heard this week from Dennis Bernstein of the Fourth Period, and they cover the LA Kings extensively, that he says that the Kings spoke with Montreal and there doesn't seem to be a fit. And the Canadians and the Kings have moved on and are looking for other solutions to their issue.
And the Kings actually just moved on from their head coach as well.
Yes, they did.
So probably not the LA Kings. And the interesting thing is, though, that it has come out that the Canadians have given Laine's agent permission to start talking directly to teams.
Yeah, Andy Scott, Patrick Laine's agent, has been given permission, and apparently this didn't happen recently. It's happened some time ago. That Andy Scott can talk directly to other teams, and why would he do that? Why is that significant? Well, Andy Scott can talk about what happens after
a signing
or a trade. After a trade, after because with Patrick Laine being an unrestricted free agent, some teams may have a question about what his intentions are afterwards, about what his cost would be, about, you know, term, all of those kinds of things. And his agent can speak to all of that. Now, if he's had that permission for some time and the Canadians still haven't been able to put together a trade, that doesn't speak well. You know, the Canadians have talked about withholding salary. They've talked about adding other incentives like picks and whatnot. If Montreal, and I see there's a story out now that, that, you know, it's being suggested that the Canadians would be happy to not trade Patrick Laine at the deadline and just hold him for the rest of the season. I think maybe that's just maybe getting the message out that they aren't desperate for a trade, but you have to know that they, in order to do anything else, that they have to move at least part of Patrick Laine's salary off the books. So this would be their number one priority at the trade deadline for sure.
Definitely. Another thing that they could be looking to do at the trade deadline is upgrade that rotating sixth defenseman, Jack Eye or Struble.
This is something that's come out recently, and you know, we had talked about the Canadians in our mind, at least in mine, that they should be looking for a right shot defense, a physical defenseman. This would be a different move, that they'd be looking for a bottom pairing defenseman, that sixth defenseman. It's clear that they don't have confidence in either Jack Eye or Struble. They're rotating. They're getting minimal minutes. So it came out this week that maybe a Band-Aid at the trade deadline would be bring in a more reliable defenseman who could play that bottom pairing, and maybe a veteran guy. And give up one of their young sixth defensemen, and we'll see if that's on the to-do list. We'll see if Kent Hughes is able to accomplish that.
The other thing that we could see happen for the trade deadline on Kent Hughes' to-do list is he's got an absolute logjam of bottom six forwards, and so maybe. Maybe one or some of those get moved.
Yeah, and that's probably not, maybe not done independently. Maybe it's part of a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. But when you have so many bottom six forwards and, you know, whether it's, well, right now, it's either Texier or Bolduc who's sitting out. They're not going to trade Bolduc, I don't think. No, they aren't trading Bolduc, but could they trade a Valeno or a Sammy Blais or a Texier who have done their service through the year and now are just kind of extras? I could see Kent Hughes including someone in a deal that's going to help alleviate that log jam and maybe help a trade over the finish line.
Mm. So the other category that you mentioned is that, okay, on Kent Hughes' to-do list are some off-season or longer-term projects. Again, with the caveat that that's not to say that one of these things couldn't happen by the trade deadline, just less likely to happen now, more likely to be a longer-term project. And the first of those is getting a top four right shot defenseman.
So, and some of the work that Kent Hughes is doing is to facilitate a move at the trade deadline. The other part is just gauging, you know, what will be required for an off-season move. the team's interest in moving a player and what the cost would be. So Elliot Friedman said that the Canadians have inquired about Rasmus Ruusulainen in Philadelphia and would certainly fit that bill that you described, top four, right shot defenseman. Physical, well, he plays with a mean streak, that's for sure. But only Elliot said he didn't get the sense that anything was happening there, just that Kent Hughes had made the inquiry.
Okay. Well, we'll see if it goes anywhere. And again, it's not likely that this is something that he figures out a solution to at the trade deadline, but it's something to have on the radar.
And depends how motivated the sellers are. I think one of the things that Elliot said that I found interesting is, in his opinion, this is a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of forwards and a lot of defensemen on the market, and this might be an opportunity to get yourself for a buyer to get a bargain.
Not just for a defenseman, but a forward as well. And that's another thing that Kent Hughes has on his to-do list, is to add a top six forward.
And Elliot Friedman has said that Hughes has approached Nashville, kind of poked around about Ryan O'Reilly to see what would be required. Not serious talks at this point. You know that those kind of situations can escalate quickly. And there'll be plenty of suitors for Ryan O'Reilly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, is that a top need for the Canadians right now? No, this would just be being aggressive when there's opportunity.
Okay.
Or maybe setting up a draft day trade or one later in the summer.
Sure. That makes sense too. The other thing, you know, okay, so yes, adding a top six forward, but then more specifically, needing to find perhaps a winger for that top line.
Kirby Dach, let's be honest, he's not fitting.
No.
Kirby Dach is not the solution for Suzuki and Caulfield. Kirby Dach maybe has a role, maybe, somewhere in the lineup, but it's not permanently on the top line. Kent Hughes still has to find a winger who's ideally suited to play with that top line. Now, could it be, could he wait and have some sort of internal solution with the addition, the future addition of Hage and Zorofsky eventually, that's going to cause a shuffling that Yuri Slavkovsky can go back to the top line and that problem can be solved internally? That's absolutely a possibility, and it wouldn't require a move at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still something that management has to solve. And maybe they don't quite have all the information to be able to be definitive in a solution right now.
So it's a pretty substantial to-do list for Kent Hughes. At the trade deadline.
What about goaltending?
Oh, no. Goaltending's fine.
Goaltending is fine. That's it.
Goaltending is fine. Don't touch the goaltending.
All of this nonsense about, they should bring in Bobrovsky.
No. They're fine.
I saw on TSN. Bring in Bobrovsky. Bring in Jordan Binnington. No, thanks.
No.
Silliness.
They're fine.
I did notice, though, that... on one of the trade boards, it was Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravelli. He has Sam Montembeau on his trade bait board. Okay. I don't think it's going to happen.
I doubt it.
I don't, even that, I don't think the Canadians want to do that. I take them at their word that they want to keep Fowler in the AHL for this season.
Yeah.
And Dobish is quite fine carrying the number one load.
Absolutely. So, leave them alone. So before the trade deadline, could we see a new home for Patrick Laine? Could we see perhaps an upgrade on that sixth defenseman? Could we see some of those extra bottom six forwards move along? Those are the possibilities that are more likely to happen if anything's going to happen at the trade deadline with Kent Hughes. Outside of that, longer term projects that could still, if the right scenario came along, could still be cause for Kent Hughes to pull the trigger at the deadline, but maybe not, is finding a top four right shot defenseman, adding a top six forward, and also finding a winger for Caulfield and Suzuki. So it could be a very interesting week for Habs fans, or it could be crickets again.
And both would be okay, frankly.
Yeah.
Both would be fine.
It would be. Our question for you this week, our Canadians Connection question of the week, we want to know from you, what should be the top priority for Kent Hughes and the Canadians at the NHL trade deadline this week? Whether it's one of those things we just talked about or something completely different, what do you think Hughes's top priority and the Canadians' top priority should be this week for the NHL trade deadline? Send us your response. You can text it to 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. Leave a comment on Spotify. Leave a comment on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Habs Connection. Just let us know what you think should be the top priority for Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens at the NHL trade deadline this week. And when you do send in your answers, we are going to pick the best responses. We're going to read them on the show next week. And next week's show, of course, is the day after the trade deadline. So we are going to analyze what's happened and we'll be able to see if any of you were correct. All right. Right after we are going to take our last break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Wonderful message from our sponsors over at DraftKings for you. And when we come back, we're going to get you all set up for another great week of NHL action and the trade deadline. So don't go anywhere. We are you're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 389 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, make sure you tap that subscribe button if you enjoy hearing all the latest about the Montreal Canadiens each and every week, all year long, not just hockey season, but in the summer as well. We want to be sure that you are subscribed. Make sure you're following us on social media. Make sure you get in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. As, of course, we know that is what should be the top priority for Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens at the NHL trade deadline this week. Of course, the trade deadline is Friday at 3 p.m. So Friday, 3 p.m. So we only have a handful of days to wait to find out what is going to happen. Before then, however, the Canadians are on their Western road trips. So Tuesday night, it's a late night start if you're on the East Coast, 10 p.m. Eastern start, Montreal visiting San Jose to take on the Sharks. And then trade deadline happens on Friday. That night, Friday night game this week, Friday night, Montreal is in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. That's a 9 p.m. Eastern start. So busy week for the Canadians, a tense week while they're out on the road. Guys always tend to get a little bit of those trade deadline jitters if rumors have been flying. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But
normally they'd be rather relaxed heading out to California.
Yeah.
But this, a different story.
Different story this time. And then for sure on Saturday, March 7th, we will be back here for the next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, where we will break down what does or does not happen before 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday and the trade deadline, and get you caught up with all of the latest news from the Montreal Canadiens for the week. We are going to sign off, say thank you for being here. We're going to let our fearless leader feel a little better and get some healing going on, because it's a big week ahead. And we look forward to seeing you all back here again next Saturday for another great episode talking about the trade deadline right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.